So open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, and I'll read verses 1 to 6, and then Paulus, I'll ask you to come up after that. Thanks. So Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. This is God's word, Paul. Thanks.
Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be here to worship God together and to share the word of God with you. Before I start, I would like to congratulate Josh and Caroline for their engagement. And also, I would like to congratulate Matt Dodd for his ordination and installation to be one of our pastors here last week. If I had time this morning, I would like to tell you two or three things about Matt that you might not know. But never mind. It's better if I start to begin my sermon. But if you really want to know, you can find me after the service. We have read the word of God from Colossians chapter 3. Verses 1 to 6. Before we learn the word of God, let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to worship you this morning and to listen to your word. In the midst of many distracting and deceptive voices, please keep our ears attuned to your living word. We know that your word alone is a lamp unto our feet and a light for our path. And now, Lord, open my mouth so that I can speak. Open our ears so that we can change by your power and through your grace. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Have you ever heard a person called Wayne Rooney? He is a soccer player from a famous club, Manchester United. Once he was disciplined by his coach. As a result, he missed some of their important games. What did he do that his coach had to discipline him? For many people, what Rooney had done might have been a common thing. But for a soccer player with an international reputation like Rooney, what he did was not a small thing. He deserved to be disciplined. What had he done? He had done two things that were inappropriate in the public. First, he smoked. Second, he urinated on the roadside. A journalist, upon hearing that Rooney was disciplined, approached and asked Rooney's coach, "Rooney was only smoking and urinating in public. Is it fair to suspend him?" The coach's answer was interesting. The coach said something to the effect, "We have spent a lot of money to bring Rooney on our team. We want him to give his best, both on the field and outside the field." That answer reminds me of what the Bible says about us. We believers are people who have been bought by Christ, And that price is not cheap. We are bought by Christ's own blood. Therefore, it is only normal if our lives, both on the field, meaning in the church, among other believers, and outside the field, meaning outside the church, among people in our daily lives, reflect how much Christ has paid for us. Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 to 6 teaches us that the awareness of our identity in Christ is one of the important keys to enable us to live a righteous life, both on the field as well as outside the field. In other words, the awareness of our identity in Christ is one of the important keys to enable us to seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and to put death what is earthly in us, such as sexual immorality, impurity, evil desire, etc., as it is written in verses 5 and 6. Here Apostle Paul describes our identity as believers in Christ in terms of what already happened to us in the past, what is happening to us in the present time, and what will happen to us in the future. Now let us take note of our identity that relates with things that have happened in the past. That is, we have died and rose again with Christ. We have died and rose again with Christ. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 recorded, if then you have been raised with Christ. And then verse 3a says, for you have died. Based on these verses 1 and 3a, we learn that he who believes in Christ has died and risen together with Christ. Jesus' death and resurrection applies to every believer. This means that every believer has a new identity in Christ Jesus. In his letter to Colossians, Paul mentions several times about the change of identity for those who believe in Christ. When they believe in Christ, they are transferred from their old identity to their new identity, from the domain of darkness to the kingdom of Christ. In Colossians chapter 1 verse 13, Apostle Paul says, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Also, from being dead spiritually to being alive spiritually, as it is written in Colossians chapter 2 verses 12 and 13. And also from old self to new self, as it is written in Colossians chapter 3 verses 9 to 10. When we realize our new identity is in Christ, we should be encouraged to live according to this new identity, meaning we live according to the word of God and we put to death our sinful desires. In one of his sermons, Ravi Zacharias told a story about the bloodiest prison in America, the Angola prison in Louisiana State. The prison was capable to house 5,000 inmates and it was almost full. People believed that the Angola prison was the scariest prison in America because all of the inmates were people who had been sentenced for life without any possibility of peril. Almost every day, there were fights and physical brawls among inmates in this prison. It's no surprise if many of the inmates got killed in the fights. According to a report, in 1 year, approximately 400 fights occurred more than once a day. Because of the situation, the warden of the prison decided to let each inmate carry a knife in case he needed to defend himself. Although it was actually illegal to carry a weapon in the prison, the warden let them do so that they could defend themselves, making the Angola prison known as the scariest and bloodiest prison in America. One day, the warden was replaced, and the new warden was a devoted believer in Christ. Realizing the terrible situation of the prison, he made the decision to take away the knives from the inmates. He replaced their knives with the Holy Bible. And then he encouraged all of them to read the Bible. Of course, as expected, they thought the warden was joking. Many of them laughed at the warden's idea. They refused to read the Bible. Others tore the Bible apart. But because they had a lot of time in the prison, and because they didn't have much to do in the prison, some started to read the Bible. Long story short, an amazing transformation happened in that prison. Many of them accepted Jesus for the first time from reading the Bible, and their lives were radically changed. The number of fights in the prison dropped dramatically, from 400 times a year to just under 100 a year. That was a huge change. The prison walls that were usually stained with blood from fights now were drawn with words from the Bible. Some of the inmates even wanted to know more about the Bible and study theology so that they could bring people to Christ and teach them about Christ. One day they held a service where some of them gave their testimonies about their lives. One of them shared, "I believe that the death of Christ is my death from sin, and his resurrection is my resurrection to life that glorifies him. In Jesus, I have a new identity." We can see here, when Christ changed the hearts of the inmates in Angola prison, Christ gave them a new identity. Their mind and their attitude changed. They were enabled to live according to the word of God. They were able to obey God and stayed away from evil desires. Brothers and sisters in Christ, are you living according to your new identity in Christ? Do you realize that you have died and risen with Christ? How much does this awareness affect your life? Next, let us take note of our identity that relates with things happening today. That is, we are hidden with Christ. We are hidden with Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3 says that your life is hidden with Christ in God. Paul is talking about what is happening right now after people in the Colossians accepted Christ. It said that their lives are hidden with Christ. What does hidden with Christ mean? The word hidden in Greek is krupto. It occurs 18 times in the New Testament. 8 of them are used figuratively. It means that all believers are safe in Christ. They are protected by Christ. We are not protected by visible things around us, but rather by the hand of Christ, which is hidden from our physical eyes. Safe in Christ or hidden with Christ at least indicates two things. First, a new eternal life in Christ that will not be taken away from us. John 10 verse 20 says, I give them eternal life and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Secondly, safe in Christ or hidden with Christ also indicates that whatever happens to a believer, God is always with him. He always works for our good. Genesis 50 verse 20 recorded Joseph saying to his brothers that did evil against him, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. And Romans chapter 8 verse 28 affirms this truth. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Once I went to Kurong Christian Bookstore. As I entered the bookstore, I saw a poster on a table. Written on the poster was Coloring Competition for Children. At that time, my daughter Phoebe was only 7 or 8 years old, and she loved coloring. So I filled out an application form from the table to register her for the competition and took home the picture that had to be colored. When I got home, I gave the picture to my daughter to color. I told her that it was a coloring competition, so she had to give her best. I also told her that if she won, she would get Christian books and videos. My daughter was very excited, so she went to work on it right away, and in less than 1 hour, she was done. She asked me to turn in her work to the bookstore that night, but I told her that the store was already closed. I asked her to be patient and just put the work on the table. I promised to her that I would take the picture to the bookstore the next day. However, what we didn't know was that my son Moses, who was only 4 at the time, decided to add some of his own coloring to his sister's work. He took his coloring pencils and started doodling and scribbling on it. Luckily, my daughter saw it. She screamed to her brother, Moses, no! But it was too late. And so my daughter cried. My wife came and tried to calm my daughter. Holding her tears, my daughter took her color pencils and then started to add more colors to what her brother had done on her work. I thought she was angry and maybe getting far frustrated and was going to rip up and throw her coloring work away. To my surprise, my daughter had added a new drawing. She had changed my son's scribbling into a drawing of a wind. It looked pretty good, and it matched the original drawing on the paper. So the next day, I took her work to the bookstore and gave it to the person at the bookstore. Several weeks later, I went to the bookstore again. I didn't realize that day was the announcement for the winners of the coloring competition. There were 5 winners. Their work had been put up on a wall. What number do you think my daughter got? Surprisingly, she got number 1. She got the first place. I didn't believe it. So I went to one of the clerks at the bookstore. I asked him why this picture was the winner. His answer was quite surprising. He answered, "Well, if you look at their works, they are all good. But this one," pointing to my daughter's drawing, "is different. This one shows creativity." She didn't only color the picture, but she added some other stuff. She added wind. It's very creative, so she deserved to be the winner. I think what had happened to my daughter, or what my daughter had done to her picture, is a good analogy to the reality of our lives. Sometimes we look at our lives and we think there are many things that we don't want to happen in our lives. Our lives might be full with regrets, bad memories, sadness, traumatic experiences, and other things that we don't like. Those things might include our sins that we have done in the past. Things that might be too embarrassing to remember. But just like my daughter did with her brother's scribbles, God is able to turn scribbles in our lives into something beautiful. If we commit everything to God, we will see God's miraculous works in everything. What are bad things that have happened in your lives? Whatever it is, bring it to God. He is more than able to turn your bad experiences into something beautiful. God works in all things for the good of those who put their trust in Him as their Lord and Savior. This is what Apostle Paul meant when he said that believers are hidden with Christ. Now let us take note of our identity that relates with things to happen in the future. That is, we will be glorified together with Christ. We will be glorified together with Christ. Isn't this amazing? When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory, verse 4. According to this verse, one of the things that will happen to all believers in the future is being glorified together with Christ. This is a very important perspective, a beautiful perspective. It should encourage us to live in truth and to seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. It should encourage us to live away from sin that brings the wrath of God. When will believers be glorified together with Christ? The answer is when Christ returns for the second time. The second coming of Christ will be the final glorification of Christ. Christ will be glorified, and all believers will celebrate about the glorification of Christ. When Christ rose from the dead, the Bible says that Christ was glorified. Christ's ascension to heaven was another time where His glory was made clear. And then the Bible also says that Christ was glorified by sitting at the right hand of God the Father. The climax of this glorification will take place in His second coming in the future. What is different in Christ's final glorification is that He will not be glorified alone, but He will be accompanied by all His people. This promise should encourage us to live in truth. Some time ago, I read a story from the Our Daily Bread series about the childhood of Queen Veronica. When Queen Veronica was a child, she didn't realize that she was in line for the throne of England. Her instructors, trying to prepare her for the future, they were frustrated because they couldn't motivate her. She just didn't take her studies seriously. Finally, one of her teachers decided to tell her that one day she would become the Queen of England. Upon hearing this, Victoria quietly said, "Then I will be good." The awareness that she had inherited this high calling gave her a sense of responsibility that profoundly affected her conduct from that day forward. The same things can happen to us. When our consciousness is guided by the wonderful promise of glorification with Christ, we will be able to focus our minds on things above, that is living according to God's holy word. Richard Baxter, a Puritan writer from England, in his book, The Saint's Everlasting Rest, affirms this truth. He states that one of the secrets to live according to God's holy word is to spare time each day thinking about heaven and the glorification together with Christ that we will receive. He called this heavenly meditation. By routinely doing heavenly meditating, we will be equipped to live a life led by the Holy Spirit and strong enough to face life's challenges, so that just like Apostle Paul, we are able to say, "For I consider that suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Romans 8:18. Let us look at our present life through the perspective of what will happen to all believers in the future. When Christ is glorified, we will be glorified together with Him. This morning, we have learned significant lessons from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. God wants us to live according to His will and His truth, not only on the field, in the church, but also outside the field, in our daily life. Knowing about our identity as believers in Christ, in terms of what has happened to us in the past, we have died and risen with Christ. Things that are happening to us in the present time, we are hidden with Christ. And things that will happen to us in the future, we will be glorified with Christ, should enable us to live in His truth. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. This morning we have learned about our identity as believers in Christ. We have died and risen with Christ. We are hidden with Christ, and we will be glorified together with Christ. Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit will enable us to always remember to live a life according to our new identity in Christ. Guide us, Lord, to abide and apply your word in our daily lives. Help us, Lord, to grow in holiness and become more like Christ. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Church, arise and put your armor on. Hear the call of Christ our captain. For now the weak can say that they are strong in the strength that God has given. With shield of faith and belt of truth, we'll stand against the devil's. Out to those in darkness. Our call to war, to love the captive soul, but to rage against the captor, and with the sword that makes the wounded whole, we will fight with faith and valor. When faced with trial, beneath his feet, for the conqueror has risen. And as the storm is rolled away, and Christ emerges from the grave, this victory march continues till the day, every eye and heart shall see. Spirit, come, put strength in every stride, give grace for every hurdle, that we may run with faith to win the prize of a servant good and faithful. The saints of old still lie the way, retelling triumphs of his grace. We stand.